Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Mem Gimel Aleph. We're continuing the sugya from yesterday, which is trying to determine how do we know that the execution of Beis Din must be done outside of the three machnot, outside of the shlosh machnot. So the first, we brought a tano from a Tosefta, which suggested that the source for this was actually from the Parim and Nisrafim. And from the Parim and Nisrafim, we learned that outside of the three machnot, and we have a hekesh from the Parim and Nisrafim to the Mikalel that taught us about the fact that it has to be outside of the shlosh machnot. Or Papa comes along and says, we don't need that. I could learn it out from Moshe Rabbeinu. I learned it out from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was told to hotzeiat the mekalel, take the mekalel, and mechutz lamachane. What machane was Moshe in? It was a machane levia. It says, take him out of that machane, means put him into the machane Yisrael. Then on top of that, it says, we hotzeiat the mekalel, that they took the mekalel an additional hotza'ah, that took him out into the outside of machane Yisrael. So that's how Rav Papa learns it. The Gemara then asks about other additional psukim surrounding Mikalel. What does Rav Papa do with those psukim? And now the Gemara completed with the Braisa that taught us what they do with Virg Meloto. Then the Gemara says, V'itztrich, this is 2, 4, 5 lines down. V'itztrich the Mikhtav Evan, V'itztrich the Mikhtav Avanim. By the Mikalel, it says the word Evan, and by Mikoshesh Etzim, it says Avanim for Skila. So why in one place does it use the singular, and one place it uses the plural? Because the Itach of Rana, Evan, if the Torah had only used in the singular form of Evan, Avamino, Echad lo meit bechado, lo neite achrite, umiktele. I would have thought that it would only, you could use one stone. And if one stone is not sufficient to kill him, or if he's not killed by the one stone, that's it. It's done. He's completed, we've completed the execution. And if he didn't die from the execution, then he can walk away from it. So, Kata Rachman Avanim. The Torah tells us Avanim that as many stones as it takes to put him to death. If the Torah said Avanim, Avaminim Ikora, Naite Tarte, that we think at the beginning we've got to start with two. Kata Rachman Evan, that you only need one Evan. You can throw one rock is sufficient in the beginning to get the process underway. Then if you need additional Avanim afterwards, then we'll use them. But you can start with one Evan, and one Evan is sufficient. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Papa's position. Vai Tano Nemar Kamar? Doesn't this Tano, who brought from a Braiso, the source of why we have to go outside the Shlosh Machanot, he brings it from Gzeira Shava. How could Rav Papa come and Amora argue on the Tano and say, oh, no, you don't need that, no Gzeira Shava, we could do it this way. But the Tano has a Gzeira Shava. So Gemara says, no, Ilunen Lo Nemar Kamar. That Tano, the Braiso, is saying, suggesting this. Vachi Kamar, this is what he really meant. Ilu Lo Nemar Kra Haiti Omer. Had the Pasuk not said it, meaning how was I if I was unable to learn it from where Rav Papa said that he learned it from, then I would have said Gzeira Shava. But Achshav Shenem Akra. But now that we have Rav Papa's Limud, Gzeira Shava Lo Tzorech, I don't need the Gzeira Shava. Which again brings up the reason we know that a person is not a Bidan Gzeira Shava Me'atzmo. So how could it be here that he has a Gzeira Shava that he's not sure that he's going to use, or he's not going to sure that he's going to use for a Limud? That depends on a machloket, or a number of machlokot regarding Gzeira Shava. Some Rishonim believe that the Chachamim had a number of Gzeira Shava that they had, a certain fixed number. And they would use them, or they had to use them up, and so that they could alter which Gzeira Shava they were using. That's one possibility what's happening here. The other possibility is there's a machlok is about whether you can only be done a Gzeira Shava that you got from your Rebbe, or you're allowed to use a Gzeira Shava from someone else's Rebbe as well. And that might be what's at hand here also, whether this Gzeir Shava was really a Gzeir Shava that he had from his Rebbe, or maybe it was a Gzeir Shava that he had from someone else's Rebbe. And in that case, if it's a Gzeir Shava from someone else's Rebbe, it doesn't have as much tokef, or it's not necessarily as powerful. And that's why he was willing to drop the Gzeir Shava in this case. So now, based on that, we have now one answer, which is Rav Papa's answer about why we have to go outside of Shlosh Machanot. We have the alternative of the Braisa of the Gzeir Shava if Rav Papa wasn't available. And now we have a third answer, which was Rav Ashi Amar. Moshe, Heicha HaVayotiv. Where was Moshe? He was in Machane Levia. V'amar Leirach, Mon HaTor says, Hotzeiat Makalel Chutz Namachane Levia. So he says, take the Hotzeiat Makalel, that's outside Machane Levia. And then El Michutz Lamachane. After it says Hotzei, the command to take him out means leave this Machane, which is Machane Levia. Then it says, El Michutz Machane, where is he? He's now in Machane Yisrael. And he's saying, El Michutz Machane, take him out an additional Machane, Chutz Machane Yisrael. V'tziyu et HaMikalel. What about V'yotziyu et HaMikalel, which Rav Papa used for his second Hotzah? He says, that's the Asiyo. That's to tell us that they did it. One was the Tzivoy from Hashem, and this is the Asiyo, saying that they actually did what Hashem asked of them. Sia behechuk tibu, just like Rav Papa noted for us, that Sia is explicitly written in the pasuk, Ubnei Yisrael asu, kasher tzivah Hashem et Moshe, that they did everything Moshe commanded them. So why do we need a separate pasuk about the stoning? Well, it says, ha'u b'mibayle, chad esmicho, v'chad etchiyo. I need multiple pasukim to tell me about the fact that they did everything, because there were multiple items that are mentioned in the tzivui, and not all of them are mentioned in the asiya. So the additional psukim, or the additional asiyah, comes to tell me that they did everything Moshe said, including the smicho, and that they did a smicho and a tchiyot. They did all of these items that they were supposed to carry out in the execution, each of these items that they did. And that's why I have the additional pasuk of asiyah to tell us that they did all of these items. Smicha is that v'samchu kol ha-shomim, right, that the shomim will place their hands, and tchiyah is that they push them off, which we learn not from here by skila, but we learn from Har Sinai, that whoever is stoned is also pushed off from a higher building, which we'll see later, a higher level, and drop down, and then only stoned afterwards, and we'll see that later. So the Gemara says, okay, Amalei Rabbanan Ravash, Lidach, Kohani Hotzi, Dichtibi Bipari Mani Serfim, my Darshibu. So now you, according to you, Ravashi, who learns that the command of Hotzi, and then Omei Chutz LaMachaneh, are two separate commands of Hotza'ah, then what are you going to do with all those Hotza'ot that you find by the Parim and Israfim. Over there, we said, Chutz Machaneh teaches us, we have three different ones, each one teaches us an additional Machaneh. But according to Rav Ashi, you have like six. You have Otzi and only Chutz Machaneh for each one of them. That'll give you six. What are you going to do with all of those? Gemara says Kasha. That is a problem for Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi will not have to deal with that problem with the Parim and Israfim. He has his limud over here, but using this limud over here is going to present him with a problem by the Parim and Israfim. So those are the three answers that we gave in terms of how we know they have to go outside the Shlosh Machanot. Rav Ashi says that we learn it out from Otzi, and then Omi Chutz Machaneh, Moshe is in Leviah, and therefore he says Otzi is Israel, and then Omi Chutz Machaneh. But Papa learns it out from the twice that it says once Otzi at Makalel, Omi Chutz Machaneh, and number two, Voyotzi at Makalel. That's where Papa learns it from. And we have the Tanam, the Braisa, that learns it out from a Hekesh between the effect that by Parim and Israfim it has to be outside of Shlosh Machanot, and then over here it says by Mekalel and Mechutz LaMachaneh, and therefore we have a Hekesh between them. So it's Mekalel Mechutz LaMachaneh, and then we have a Hekesh, Ne'emar Kan Mechutz LaMachaneh, V'ne'emar Parim and Israfim Mechutz LaMachaneh, Malahan Mechutz LaShlosh Machanot, Avkan Mechutz LaShlosh Machanot. And then Rav Papa dealt with that, or that Braisa, saying not that he said Ne'emar, that we have to say it, but rather, if we don't have an alternative, we'll use the Gzer Shavu. But Rav Papa, we do have this alternative of the Psukim that Rav Papa brings, and therefore we won't need the Gzer Shavu. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna, Pshitali, simple to me, Echad Eben Sheniskalba, the stone that used to kill him, Ve'eitz, Echad Eitz Shenitlabo, or for hanging the tree that he's hung on, Ve'achad Saif, Sharneragbo, or the sword that he's used for beheading, Ve'achad Sudar Shenechnakbo, or the Sudar, the cloth, or the handkerchief that they used to choke him, Kulam Mishel Tzibur, that they're paid for by the community, or they're paying for by the communal funds, my time, we're not going to say to this individual, listen, pay up for your execution. We're not going to say to him, look, you've got to pay for the materials of your execution. That we don't do. But, by Rav Huna, Sudar Shemenifim Bo, V'sushirats Umamidam Mishel Mihu. The fact that Bezin provides a flag to wave down the procession that's going out to the execution, and the horse that's used to chase them down, over there, who does that pay for that? Gaben da Tzaladidei, since it's for his benefit, so that they can actually stop it if somebody finds something good, then Mididehu, maybe he should pay it out of his own pocket. Odilma, Gaben to Beidino, right, since it's Mechayvin Mevid Bahatzala, Bezin's commanded they have to, in any capital case, that they have to look for the benefit and look to be made seal, whoever they person has found to be guilty or culpable in these cases, that they have to look to be made to him. So what do you do? So that has come out of their heads. The two. In addition to that, Hamar Rav Chir Ba'av Ashi Amar Rav Chista, Hoyetzei Leherig, someone who went out to be killed is going to be executed. Mashkino to korot she levana, we take some levana, some frankincense, together with kosher yain in wine, kadesh tarif yado, tadato, some sort of, I don't know if it's a relaxant, some sort of a volume that helped the individual get over the fear of he's going to be about to be put to death and he won't make it. So this was something that was some sort of calming agent. So Shenemar, how do we know we do this? Because it says, you give intoxicating beverages to those that are going to be lost and wine to those that are saddened of heavy heart. Vitanya, we have a brisa. Nashim yekarot shvishalayim, ayum advot mevinotan, that the wealthy individuals or the women of Yerushalayim This was their chesed project. They used to bring the wine or this beverage that would help those that are being executed to not feel the pain or be lessen their fear about being killed. And this is what they did. That was their chesed that they did. So, but lo yitnadvu, what would happen? Nashir yikrot, mishel, lo yitnadvu, nashim yikrot, mishel mi. If these women did not donate it, then who would pay for it? So he says, "Habadai mistavra mishel tzibur." That clearly comes from the tzibur. Kevin dichtiv, the pasuk that we bring that proves it says tnu in the plural. So tnu in the plural sounds like the tzibur should provide for the individual who is going to be lost, or the individual is sad, and they should provide the intoxicating beverage to take away the pain. So that so tnu mididu that has come from them. On the other hand, so we still don't have an answer. We have an incomplete. We don't know what we should do when it comes to items that are used lahatzalah to save him. So either it's because it's for his benefit, we say he should pay for it, or maybe Beis Din is commanded to take care of him. Maybe it's for them. All right. In addition to this, now the Gemara says, "Boy minei Rav Acha bar Huna mi Rav Sheshes Amar Chad minei Talmidim Yeshli lelamed alav zchut." All right, I have something to say for him. Finish that take. And then right after that, he turned into a mute, and he's unable to say. So I have something positive to say. I have something to save him. And then all of a sudden, he can't speak anymore. Mao, what do we do with this? So Menafeach, Rav Sheshet Biyodei, he waves his hands, and he says, Nishtatek? Are you going to worry about the fact that he became a mute, and now we have to worry and not put him to death? Feel like Chad Besof Olam Nami. Well, you're going to now worry about maybe somebody at the end of the world knows some Sechus for him, so we're never going to put anybody to death because there might be this Chashash. Over here, the person didn't get it out. He couldn't get it out fast enough. He didn't remember it to know. And now we're going to start worrying about it. I says, no, wait, it's a big difference. Atam lo kamar, hacha kamar. The case where it's somebody in the end of the world, we have no idea that anybody has a zchut. Here, the individual spoke up and said, I have something to say. And then he couldn't say it. So there is a circumstantial evidence, or there is at least a reason to believe that he had something to say. So Mai, what's the din? So Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Echad Min HaTalmidim Shizika Umeit, one of the Talmidim who spoke up in favor of the individual and then passed away, we look at him as if he's still around, Umeit Bimkomo, and he stays in his position. So it sounds like this, that even though the Talmid is no longer present, his position is still held by the court, or kept by the court. So we see that it's only Zika in, Lo Zika Lo. Only he spoke up and said something this chut, do we keep it that way? But if he never got around to saying what his reasoning was, even though he said that he was mezakeh, then we won't uphold it. So I says, wait a minute. Lo zika pshitali. Of course, if he didn't say anything, that's pashut that we can't uphold his position after he dies. He didn't say anything. So maybe, amarti bailoch. Maybe that's exactly what the question of this statement, that's exactly what's bothering Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that what do we say when we say chamel tamenim shezika? Maybe zika here means not that literally he's got to say that he was mezakeh him, and for this and this reason, but rather he just said he was mezakeh him, and then, boom, he disappeared. He either died, or he's nishtatek, and then because of that, we're going to say, we keep his position, and we hold his position that there's a tzad zchut. So over here, we have no proof. I mean, it's inconclusive. We're not sure, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, what he addressed. Would he really address the case where he spoke out the whole reason for the zchut, or is it also that a case where he didn't speak out the reason of the school, he just said, I have something to say, and then he was disappeared. So we don't have any conclusion from that, and then therefore we don't know what the answer is. If a Talmid who had something positive to say and then is unable to say it, what do we do in that instance? So now, Vafilu, we said there that he can bring him back four or five times. Gemara says, Vafilu Parmi Shanavishniya, every time, one, the first, second time, we keep bringing him back, Vatanya. We have a braisa, Pam Rishon Avishnia, Ben Sheish Mamash Bidvarav, Ben Sheish Mamash Bidvarav. Whether there's substance to what he's saying or not, we bring him back. Magzirnoto. Bikan Velech, after the first two times, Miesh Mamash Bidvarav, if there's substance to what he's saying, Magzirnoto, we bring him back to Beis Din. Ein Mamash Bidvarav, if there's no substance, Ein Magzirnoto, we don't bring him back. So Amar Papa Targumua, our mission is a case of Bimpam Shnia Velech. Our mission says that we check that there's substance to what he's saying, is talking about after the second time. I mean, that's only third, fourth, fifth time that our mission is addressing. It's not addressing the first two times. So Gemara says, Minayode, how do we know if there's any substance to what he's saying? If we're not bringing him back to court, first two times we bring him to court, that's how we find out if he has substance. But the subsequent times, how do we know he has substance if we don't bring him back to court? So Amar Bai, the Masrinin Lei Zuga Derabonon, give him a pair of Talmidei Chachamim to go out with him that determine whether it's worthwhile taking him back. Im Ikamamish Vidvarav In. If there's substance to what he's saying, we bring him back. Ilo lo. So Gemara says, Vilim Sarlei Meikara, let's save some time. Why don't we send out the Talmidei Chachamim the first two times? Why do we bring him back to Beis Din the first two times? Let's just have the Talmidei Chachamim assess the situation the first two times as well. Gemara says, Agav de Bait, Lo Matzi Amar Komai Ditle. Because he's so afraid and so scared, he won't have the ability to express what he wants to say to these two individuals. He won't get it out properly. So therefore, the first two times, we bring him back to Beis Din so he can get over his fear and he can say what he needs to say. After he's already spoken up a couple times, we think that either the fear subsided, or maybe the wine and frankincense that he drank kicked in. He's feeling a little less fearful, and then he'll speak clearly. So the first two times, we make up based in to give him the opportunity to get it through whatever he needs to say. After that point in time, we say, speak to these two Talmidei Chachamim, and they'll assess the situation. He should feel more comfortable about speaking up in those instances. Okay, the new Mishnah, which is Matzu Lo Zchut. If in this, after he was Nigmar Adin, they went out and they find something positive to bring him back and to exonerate him. But true, they let him go. Vim lav, if not, Yotzei Lisakel, then he goes out to be stoned. Right? But Cruz, Yotzei Lefanav, they make an announcement before him. Ish Ploni Ben Ploni Yotzei Lisakel. So-and-so is going out to be stoned. Al Shavar Aveira Plonit, because he violated this Aveira. Uploni Uploni Eidav, and his Eidim are so-and-so. Anybody who knows something positive should come and speak for him. So Rav Abaye says, in this announcement, you also have to say, you have to say where the sin was committed, so that other people can say, wait, oh, these are the Edim? We were at those Edim on that day. I mean, that we can be mazim Edim. We want to give them enough information so that they can be mazim the Edim. If you don't give them enough information, they won't be able to be mazim the Edim in that instance. So therefore, we say to them, give out enough information about the location, the time, and the place, so that other people are listening will have something to say. So the Gemara continues, to cruise Yotze Lefanav, Lefanav in Mikarlo. That's only after, I mean, that once we are taking him out, but we don't have to make an announcement before we start taking him out. We don't have to proceed his execution with an announcement. The announcement actually happens simultaneous with the time that he's been taken out. Anybody who is makriv his yitzer, here referring to the yitzer hara, and says a vidui, malei alav ha-ketuv kilu kibdol ha-kodesh baruch b'shnei olamim. It's as if he gave Hashem kavod in two worlds. Halom hazeh v'olam haba. This world and the next world, ichtiv. It says zoveach todah, the one who is makriv through todah, through his vidui, yichab danini. Through that, when it says yichab danini, there the two nuns indicate that there's two things that he's being makriv, the two things that he's being mechabit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the Yetzer HaTov, and one is the Yetzer HaRa. The Yetzer HaTov, for that which he does good, that brings him to Olam Haba, that's the natural thing that he's Zoveach LaShem. But even the Yetzer HaRa, here an individual did something wrong, and it's been brought here, the Gemara is brought here in the context of someone being executed, that it should be on a positive note, they can end it on a positive note, or even when someone has sinned, they can turn it around by doing tshuva and doing vidui and being mechaper, they can turn around that which was negative in the past and make it into something positive, and then make a makriv that, meaning bring the Yetzer Hara to a positive side and make that into a zevach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shmuel ben Levi was much Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when there was a Beit HaMikdash, Adam makriv olah, schar olah biyodo, person brings an olah, the reward is that he paid for this olah, he had out of the money for that, mincha schar mincha biyodo. Brings a mincha, he has the reward for bringing a mincha, or the monies that he expended on a mincha. V'misha da'to shvela, but a person who is humble and has humility, malei alav ha-ketuv kilu kriv kol ha-karbonot kulan, it's as if he gave all those karbonot, shenamar, zivchei elukim ruach nishbaru, right, that the person, zivchei, used in a plural sense, that a zevach to Hashem is a ruach nishbara, someone who is of broken spirit, means someone who is humble and has humility. A person who acts in such a manner, his tefillot will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, lev nishbar v'nidkeh elukim lo tibzeh. It's a continuation of the pasuk that we just read, that zivchei elukim ruach nishbara, and those people, nef nishbar v'nidkeh, a broken and humbled heart, elukim lo tibzeh, Hashem will not despise, meaning that the tefillot that come will not be nimeset from those people, he will not despise their tefillot, but rather they'll be accepted. All right, the new Mishnah continuing. When they are 10 amot away from the place where they're going to do the execution, says make a vidui to that this death penalty should be a kapara over what you did wrong. Anybody who's put to death, mitvadim, they say vidui first. Because anybody who does admit to their sins and uses this death penalty to be a kapara from them, then they have a chelik lo amaba. Shekein matzinu ba'achan. We find ba'achan, Shamar lo Yoshua, bini, simna, kvod Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. Give kvod to Hashem, betein lo toda, and admit to your wrongdoing. Vayan achan et Yoshua, v'yomer, amna. It's true. Anochi chatati, I did sin. Lechazot, lechazot. Right, asiti, this is what I did, and this is what I took. How do you know that it worked? Viduya, minash kibla viduya. How do you know that his vidui worked? Shinemar. Pasuk says by Yeshua, Yeshua, ma achartanu yakacha Hashem beyom hazeh. That just like you troubled or dirtied the waters for us, yakacha Hashem, Hashem should dirty you and punish you, but beyom hazeh, today. Beyom hazeh atakur, today you are muddied or dirtied before Hashem, viyatakur leolam haba. But that's only for today. After death, you will not be akur lafnei Hashem, and you will reach olam haba. Vimeinu yodeh litvadot. He doesn't know how to say vidui, amrim lo emor. Teimi tati kapara kol avonotai. Just a simple phrase. My death should be a kapara on all my sins. If he knows that he's really innocent, and the edim are really edim zomimim, and that they are lying, these are false witnesses. Omer teimi tati kapara kol avonotai chutz miavon zeh. That my death should be a kapara for all my sins, except for this sin that I'm being punished for right now. So I'm alone. I'm Cain. You hate kol adam. Cain. Omer Cain. Kadei lenakota. It's my. Everybody will do that. Everybody wants to look innocent. Everybody wants to look like they're not the bad guy. So if you allow those people that are really innocent to say that, then even those people who are not innocent are going to pretend to be innocent because they want to look good in people's eyes. And out of that factor, from that factor, they're not going to get kapara on this sin because they won't be mitvadeh. So we'd rather have everybody just be mitvadeh, except the mitah as a kapara. And even those that are innocent, we're still going to say it's better that they have this be a kapara for all of a note, and not say chutz mizeh, in order that everybody should get kapara out of all the of all their sins. So Tana Rabbanan, and it says nah, please, a nah elashon bakasha. Nah is a lashon bakasha of request. B'kshasha Amar Kosh Baruch Lo Yeshua, Shem came to Yeshua and says chata Yisrael, that Yisrael, b'kla Yisrael sinned. Amar lefanav Yisshalom mi chata, who sinned? Amalei b'chi dil torani. Am I some sort of moser? Am I an informant of sorts? Lechapel goralot. Go do the goral. Halech v'pil goralot. He went and they drew lots. Benafal goral alachan. And the lots came out to be Achan, was the one who was the guilty party over here. Amalei Yeshua b'goral ata b'elai. So Achan says, Yeshua, you're coming to me with a lottery? He says, ata v'alazar kohen. If it was between, if we had a lottery between you and Elazar kohen. Shnei Gdolei Ador, Atem, you're the two greatest leaders of this nation. If I put lots for you, one of you guys is going to come out guilty. So do over here. Somebody had to come out guilty. So it happened to come out on me. So that's what the na here. Yeshua is asking Achan, please, please don't be motzilaz, don't be disparaging or cast aspersions on the lottery. Because this is the methodology we're going to use to divide up the land of Israel. So this methodology, we want to know that it's real and it works, and we don't want to cast aspersions on it, so don't start making things up here that you're not guilty. So he says, Tein toda. Go ahead and make your admission. Amar avinu shchudei shachtei b'milei. That Yeshua basically tricked him or bribed him through his wording to make an admission. Because he says, Ten toda, make an admission. So he implied from his statement, Klum nevakesh mechal lehoda, we just want you to admit what you did wrong. And Achan thought that Ten lo toda be pater miyad, that if you admit, you'll be patur. So then he went ahead. Vayan Achan et Yeshua, v'amar amna, aman. He says, that's true. Amana. What you said, or where the Goral came out, is true. Anochi chatati l'Hashem elokei Yisrael. I sinned to Hashem, v'kazot v'kazot asiti. And this is what I did. Amar Avasi, Amar Reb Chanina Maleit, Shemal Achan b'shlosha charamim. That Achan actually took from the Cherem three times. Shnayim b'mei Moshe, twice in the time of Moshe, v'chad b'mei Yoshua, one in time of Yoshua. Yoshua he took from the Cherem by the battle of Yericho. In Moshe's time, right, it's not clear where he took, but one of them could be by the Knani, when they fought Og Melech Bashan, and when they fought the Emori, when they fought Sichon, they actually were machrim parts of the spoils over there. If they were machrim parts of the spoils over there, maybe in that instance is where he was Moel by the spoils. Also, Rashi claims by the battle with Melech Arad, by the Knani, when they took a Shevi from Bnei Israel, over there it says, Vayidar Yisrael Neder. They took a Neder that if Hashem gave into the hands, that we machrim everything there. So claims that that's also a place where he took it from. But then we have But then we have an additional statement. So he says that Shneimar Kazot Kazot Asiti. I did this, this I did. So that's it. Kazot and Kazot. In addition to this one, I have Kazot and Kazot. That's three. Yochanan Amar Mishum Rablazer Rabbi Shimon Chamisha. There were five times it took from it. Arba'a Mimei Moshe. Four from the time Moshe V'Chavi Meshua. Shneimar Nochatati V'Chazot V'Chazadot Asiti. The Vav adds on an additional one. So you have V'Chazot is two. V'Chazot is two plus the Asiti. What I did here in is that's five. So where do you have four times? The Rashi and Tosfos mention here that the times that we had four times is in other battles that they had in the Midbar. Other battles that they had in the Midbar, whatever battle they had, they might have been Machrim, and then he took from that Cherim. So Tosfos says, why don't we do it like we did before by David HaMelech when it talked about, it spoke about his wives, and we said B'chayinu, B'chayinu, and then we used that to be a multiplicative form, that each one added on what the other one had before. So B'chazot would be double the one, and then B'chazot would be an additional double. So I said, the problem with that is it's just not enough battles for him to do that. So the Gemara doesn't darshan that way. They said the maximum was five things that he took from, four in the time of Moshe. We really can't get more than that. So now, Gemara says, why was the Nachan punished until this point in time? Why is he only punished now for taking from Yericho? Why wasn't he punished in the previous times that he took from the Cherim? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Lefish Lo Anash Al Anistarot Ad Shavru Yisrael Et HaYarden, that they were not punished on those things that were not known to everyone until they crossed the Yarden. Okay, tonight we have a Machlokes Tanaim here. Here there's a Machlokes in the Girsa between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi's girsa is different. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara follows Rabbi Tenu Tam's girsa right now. It says, "Anistarot Lashem Elkeinu, v'niglo lanu v'neinu ad olam." So nama nakud. So the pasuk says, "Anistarot." The pasuk pshat says, "Anistarot Lashem Elkeinu." That which is beyond our reach, Hashem takes care of. V'niglot, right? That which is obvious or apparent to us, lanu v'neinu ad olam, we should have to take care of. So that sounds like the havamino of the pasuk is that Hashem takes care of the nistarot and we take care of the niglot. The problem is that the pasuk actually has dots written on top of the words, and that's namanakud alanu ulvanenu. The words lanu ulvanenu have dots on top of it, and the word ad on the ayin, there's a dot over there. So now, why do they have namakud alanu ulvanenu bala ayin shebe ad? What does that teach us? Mlamed. So over here, we're going to use the girsa of Rashi. Rashi says mlamed shene'nash alanisterot misha avru, that they were only punished for those that they didn't know about after they crossed the Yarden. Tivri Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda believes, at least according to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda believes over here that prior to this point in time, while they were in the Midbar, right, they were only punished for ha-niglot, for those that were revealed. Whereas once they crossed over the Yarden, they were also became Arevim Zelazeh, they became responsible for one another, even those items that are hidden, that we don't know about. So prior to this point in time, Hashem took care of the Nistarot, we took care of the Niglot. But from this point forward, right, we're going to be responsible both for the Niglot and the Nistarot. So over here, by Achan, even though in the past it was Nistar, we weren't punished for that, because that wasn't a responsibility. But once they crossed over, and Rashi claims they went to Har Gerizim and Har Ival, and the Brit that Har Gerizim and Har Ival made them Arevim Zelazeh, it's only interesting because then Rashi says, oh, and Yericho took place after they crossed the Yarden. But according to Sefer Yoshua, Har Gerizim and Har Ival only take place way after the Battle of Ai, not even after the Battle of Yericho or before the Battle of Yericho. The Chazal say the possibility that that happened earlier in Sefer Yoshua, they went to Har Gerizim and Har Ival. But at that Brit, they accepted an Arevut, one for the other, to the point that they were now responsible not only for those things that are out in the public domain, but even things that are in the private domain, you're responsible to ensure that your fellow man does not sin. So how does that learn from the pasuk? So the way Rashi learns it, Rashi says, the havamina, right, that is that, shalonianshu ala nistarot olam. That it says, the easiest way to learn the pasuk is say that the nistarot for Hashem, the nilot are ours, ad olam, forever. That's what would be the case. But now, why are we going to change that? Because of the dots that are found on top of these words. Rashi said the dots really should have been over the words L'Hashem Elokeinu. They really should have been over the words L'Hashem Elokeinu. When we put dots on top of the letters, when there are less dots than entire letters in the Pasuk, it basically means to drop that word out. But Rashi says it's not kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put dots on top of his name. So therefore, we transfer the dots onto Lanu V'Neinu Ad, which are also 11 letters, similar to L'Hashem Elokeinu, which would be 11 letters. So according to Rashi, the way you would read the Pasuk, you'd have two readings of the Pasuk. If the dots were really found on L'Hashem Elokeinu, maybe on Nistarot L'Hashem Elokeinu, V'Nigno Lanu V'Neinu. That's how you'd read the Pasuk. That's before we went over to the Yarden. But once we crossed over the Yarden, you would drop the words L'Hashem Elokeinu, and you would read it, V'Nistarot V'Niglot Lanu V'Neinu Ad Olam. We're responsible for both the Nistarot
and the niglot.
So Rashi says that's unacceptable. Even though we could explain the pasuk way, that was unacceptable. So what the Torah did was put those dots on top of the words of lanu ulavanenu. And based on that, Rashi says it's to tell us or to teach us that the lanu ulavanenu was not necessarily in the right place. And therefore it can be read in one of two ways. That means it could be read like the pasuk actually says, "Van istor l'shem elokeinu, van niglot lanu ulavanenu." That is the way lifnei we went over the Yarden, that Hashem takes care of the nistarot and we take care of the niglot. But then after we cross over the Yarden, the dots on the lanu v'neinu tell us to move it, and therefore we say like this: Hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu lanu v'neinu adolam. Mean that the word niglot actually goes after lanu v'neinu. Mean that the nistarot to for Hashem Elokeinu lanu v'neinu adolam. That which is the nistarot that were for Hashem now belong to us. And when do they belong to us? When we go over the Yarden. So that's the limud of Rabbi Yehuda according to Rashi. Along comes Rabbi Nechemi, Amar Rechemi, Chanash ala nishtarot olam. The pasuk says, ad olam, forever. And even you, Rabbi Yehuda, agree that we don't punish the nishtarot forever, ad olam. So it can't be that the ad olam in the pasuk is referencing to the nishtarot. So if that's the case, then if it's not referencing this, but if it says Adolam, then what's the Adolam referring to? Ella must be. Mean that you, Adolam means that you never punish for the Nistarot. That you would read the Pasuk as Hanistarot, meaning if you drop, like we said before, the dots drop the words Lanu Vanenu, you'd read the Pasuk like this. Hanistarot Blashem Elokeinu Vaniglot. That the Nistarot and the Niglot belong to Hashem. But that's before we went over the Yarden. But once we cross the Yarden, then a nistarot Hashem Elokeinu, the nistarot belong to Hashem, va niglot lanu levaneinu adolam. That belongs to us now. The niglot are what are our problem. Why is that? Because shem shlo nasa la nistarot, just like we never punished for the nistarot, so too kolach nash ala anshin shibigalui. So too you would never be punished for those that were done in public. The only problem is, ad shavru Yisrael at Yarden, the word adolam is still there. But the word Adolam is coming to teach us, and that's why there's a dot on one of the letters of Adolam, Timim Chalek, to divide it. That the Adolam is not forever. It's only for part of the time, meaning that the Niglot, where does that apply? That applies to the Niglot. The Niglot don't apply before we went into Eretz Yisrael, only after. That means, according to Rabbi Nechemia, before they entered Eretz Yisrael, you were not responsible for your friend's sins, whether you knew about them, whether you didn't know about them. Once we entered into Eretz Yisrael, then you're only responsible for the sins we know, not for the sins that we do not know. And then the Gemara asks the question, okay, what about Achan? Why were they responsible for Achan? They didn't know about him taking from the cherem. They had to throw lots to find out about it. El Achan, my time, Oyinosh. Why was he punished? Mishum Davi Yodei Beishtovanov. Because his children and his wife knew about it. So it wasn't something that was in secret. It was known by them. And they should have turned him in, or their knowledge was enough to make it that it was a big galui, and therefore Bnei Yisrael were punished for it. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Rashi reads the Gemara by changing the girsa in Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise it doesn't make so much sense. The Havamina, if you don't change the girsa, but the girsa way it reads today, before we changed it, is Malameid Shlo Anash Al Nistarot Ad Shavru Yisrael Teyardein. They were not punished on the Nistarot until they went in across the Yarden. That means that the Havamina is that they would be punished for everything. Right? So where do you mean they would be? Why would there be a Havamina that before this point they would have been punished for everything? So rather Rashi says, no. That the way the Gemara should read is, Melamed Shanash ala Nistarot, that they punished for the Nistarot once they came in. The Havamina is what they wouldn't be punished for it at all. And then the Pasuk, the dots in the Pasuk come to teach us that they do get punished for the Nistarot. But the other way around doesn't make so much sense to say that they won't get punished. Right, Shalom Ne'enash, they did not get punished for the Nistarot until they crossed the Yarden, which implies that they should have, our Havamina would have been to punish them, and now the Pasuk comes to teach you, don't punish them. Now, it's the other way around. It should be, Pashup Shah on the Pasuk is that they shouldn't be punished on the Nistarot. So Rashi changes the Girsa to fit what would be the Havamina. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says, no, you don't have to change the Girsa. I can read it in this Girsa, but you're misunderstanding what it means on Nistarot, Hashem Elokeinu. You will be punished on the niglot and the nistarot, because what is the word meaning, that's not that we don't, there's no punishment for it, But no, that the nistarot, that only Hashem believes, and the niglot, both of us should be punished on them. So not the way where we read the pasuk in Pashup Shat, which is anistarot Hashem Elokeinu, pause, and then v'aniglot lano v'neinu. Rather, anistarot, and then what does anistarot mean? Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem Elokeinu only knows about it from it's a noun phrase. And then v'aniglot, also the niglot, lano v'neinu, we would be punished. And that would be the havamim of the pasuk. Ein hachanami, the Pashup Shat and the pasuk, we would be punished on everything. And along come the dots to teach us, don't punish on everything. So the way that Rabbeinu Tam learns it, based on this, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, to read the pasuk, "Anistarot Hashem Elokeinu v'aniglot." Before we went over into the Yardane, we'd say both of them were Hashem's issue. Because "Anistarot Hashem Elokeinu v'aniglot," that was all Hashem's issue. Because we dropped the words "lano v'aneinu" with the dots. But then when we add the words "lano v'aneinu" back in, we're responsible for both. Meaning, "Anistarot Hashem Elokeinu v'aniglot lano v'aneinu." Both of those are our problem now. So before the Yardane, neither of them were our problem. After we cross the Yarden, both of them are a problem. But that's not Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says that before they crossed into Yarden, they were also responsible for the Niglot. So that's what the dots on the word Adolam come to teach you. The dots on the word Adolam come to teach you that Chetzio, part of this is forever, and part of this is only temporary. So when we say afterwards, after they add in the Lanul of Anena, that we're responsible for the Nisrot and the Niglot, one of those is only temporary, or meaning one of those only starts from now going forward. And that's the Nisrot. On the other hand, the niglot, we're going to be, we were chayav before, and we're going to continue to be chayav. So the way that Rabbeinu Tam changes the havamim, he's able to mamid the girsa. He says the pasuk pshat and the pasuk is that we'd be punished on both. And along comes the pasuk to teach us, no, you're right, we get punished on both. But the ad comes to the chalek and say that punished on both only is from the Yardane forward. But before that time, in the part of time, that wasn't the case, that Hashem was responsible for what it sounded like both. But the adolam comes to teach us, no, that something has to be forever. And what was forever? Haniglot, that we're responsible for. So by that doing, changing the Havmina, Rabbeinu Tam is able to preserve the gear. So the problem with Rabbeinu Tam is that when he comes to Rabbi Yirmiya, it's a little hard to explain the Pasuk. He can explain the Pasuk to read it like this. Haniglot, Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglot, that all belonged to Hashem before we went into the Yarden. That's Rabbi Nechemya, who says that we're not chai for anything in the Midbar. Then once you enter Eretz Yisrael, it says, Anistarot, Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglotanu, Vanenu. Right, that once we come into Eretz Yisrael, then the niglot become our problem. But that's now, because we would have a havamina. What would have been the havamina that it should be otherwise? The havamina would have been that true, that the nistarot ol Hashem Elokeinu, v'aniglot lano v'aneinu, only niglot are for us. But maybe the niglot are for us to get the full punishment. But for a small punishment, maybe we still be responsible for the nistarot. Along come the dots in the pasuk to teach you, no, that lano v'aneinu teaches you that we are totally patur when it comes to nistarot. Nistarot, we're never responsible for. Those are always Hashem's issue. And the niglot, our lano v'aneinu, right, once we cross over the Yarden. The only problem that the Tosa says, or Rabbeinu Tam has, is that then the word, the dot, on the word adolam, has no meaning according to Rabbi Nechemya. Because there's nothing that's adolam for Rabbi Nechemya. Nothing is forever for Rabbi Nechemya. Before you entered into Eretz Yisrael, you were not responsible for the nistarot or the niglot. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're only responsible for the niglot and not the nistarot. So there's no adolam. There's nothing that you can explain with the adolam. And that's what the Tosas concludes. According to the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation of Rabbi Nechemya, the dot and adolam is extraneous. It's not necessary at all. So that's obviously the weakness in Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, is that the Rabbi Nechemya doesn't use the dot above the ayin, but the strength of it is that he's able to preserve the girsa that we have in our Gemaras. Rashi, on the other hand, is able to give an explanation for both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, but he has to alter the girsa slightly to change the havamina, to say the pashup pshat in the pasuk is that Hashem is responsible for the nistarot, we're responsible for the niglot, so therefore the pasuk comes to teach us, the havamina is we be potter. The pasuk comes to teach us that we are chayav for the nistarot when we come into the Yarden, and not the way it's written in our Gemara, which is in a negative form. That with, how do we know that you should not be punished for the nistarot until we come into the arts, implying that you should have been punished before that time? Why would you have a havamina to be punished? The pasuk sounds the opposite. So Rashi changed the girsa to deal with that issue. But by changing the girsa, he also is able to explain Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemya why they need all the dots. Okay, we'll stop over here. I've also sent out with the shir a charts that lay out the Shita of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya.